And I really like how in our passage and throughout the epistle to the church of Philippi, Paul emphasizes joy. We as Christians should be a joyful people that enjoy laughter and fellowship with each other. 6-year-old Angie and her 4-year-old brother Joel were sitting together doing a church service. Joel giggled, sang, and talked out loud. Finally, his big sister has had enough. And by the way, I remember as a young teen talking too much in church, and the pastor's wife would kind of give me one of those, you know, making sure that I knew where I was. "You're not supposed to talk out loud in church," she told him. "Why? Who's going to stop me?" Joel asked. Angie pointed to the back of the church. "See those men? They're hushers." And now for some church bulletin bloopers. The scouts are saving aluminum cans, bottles, and other items to be recycled. Proceeds will be used to cripple children. Please don't give the scouts much. Our youth basketball team is back in action Wednesday at 8 p.m. in the recreation hall. Come and watch us kill Christ the King. The peacemaking meeting scheduled for today was canceled due to conflicts. Remember in prayer the many who are sick of our community. Smile at someone who is hard to love. Say hell to someone who doesn't care much about you. Might be better to say hello, that's just my opinion. Especially if someone is packing. Next Thursday, there will be tryouts for the choir. They need all the help they can get. Irving Benson and Jesse Carter were married on October 24th in church. So ends a friendship that began in their school days. At the evening service tonight, the sermon topic will be, "What is hell?" Come early and listen to our choir practice. This evening at 7 p.m., there will be a hymn singing in the park across from the church. Bring a blanket and come prepared to sin. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use the double doors in the back. Isn't that first phrase in our passage a wonderful thing to say about Christians? I thank my God every time I remember you. And, you know, I've been praying this week, you know, when I remember people that are in the church that are Christians, I should be thanking God for what they do. Paul lives a life of gratitude to God and to others. And this is the letter he wrote while he was under guard awaiting possible death in Rome. Can we say that we're thankful when we think about other people? Or are we more often to think about how other people disappoint us and let us down? Do we talk about the 9 times out of 10 we get good service at a convenience store, a restaurant, a business? Or do we always only talk about the 1 time out of 10 when we get service that's bad? If you if you go on to Lampasas Breaking News, you will hear how every restaurant in town is out to kill us. Henry Ward Beecher said this, "The unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but the thankful heart will find in every hour some heavenly blessings." Just by sitting in this church, we're blessed that we didn't have to walk 10 miles to get here, like some people throughout history and some people around the world do. We're blessed that we're in a building with air conditioning, that has carpet on the floor, that has indoor plumbing. We have so many blessings in our lives, so many things to be joyous about. But as Americans, watching all those advertisements, all those advertisements are trying to tell us, you need something else. You're not satisfied. You know, you need to buy this item, you need to live in this location, you need to have these cosmetics, you need to have this size of a truck, You need to have this, you need to have that. And if you have last year's, it's not good enough, because guess what? We just changed the packaging and you need this year's item. That we live in a culture that's always seeking the new, the innovative. And God's saying, be joyous in what you have. James called other believers brothers and sisters in his epistle. That was the relationship that he wanted them to have with each other. Both James and Paul loved all believers and cared for them. The frequent repetition in the epistle of all with you marks that Paul desires to declare his love for them and does not recognize divisions. He doesn't say he loves all of the people in the church who dress a certain way or have a certain skin color or are a certain gender or live in a certain place or come from a certain place. He has love for all of them. With joy, the characteristic feature of this epistle, Philippians 1:18 also has it. Philippians 2:2, Philippians 2:19, Philippians 2:28, Philippians 3:1, Philippians 4:4, Philippians 4:11. If you flip through Philippians, you will see joy sprinkled on every page. And joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Many scholars consider this the epistle or letter of joy, and one mark of a mature Christian is someone who has joy. Now, I don't want us to confuse that with happiness. If someone in your family dies, it's appropriate to grieve. But no matter what we're going through, no matter what job we lose, no matter how much money we owe, no matter which organ stops working, no matter how long our toenails get, we should have joy. Joy is a central aspect also of Jesus' ministry. Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology defines joy: happiness over an unanticipated or present good. Unanticipated or present good. There's so many things that should bring us joy. In the Old Testament, joy covered a wide range of human experiences. From marriage to the birth of children, the gathering of the harvest, military victory, and drinking wine. On the spiritual level, it refers to the extreme happiness which the believer contemplates salvation and the happiness of the afterlife. Even if we don't have reasons for joy in our current situation, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords has adopted us into his family and will reign forever with him in heaven. That should get someone excited. That should get someone more excited than the Super Bowl or WrestleMania or a Clinique bonus buy or the first day of hunting season. I mean, have you seen the traffic around this place the first day of hunting season? I mean, I feel bad for Bambi on that day until it's my turn to get Bambi. I love this phrase. When something goes well for us, do we ever consider it an unexpected benefit? We have been told we cannot control our circumstances, but we can control our attitude. The Psalms express the joyous mood of believers as they encounter God. The Psalms are the hymn book of ancient Israel. Believers rejoice because God surrounded them with his steadfast love and brought them to salvation. God's love is steadfast. It doesn't depend on the seasons. It does not depend on all the things that human love can change. Human love can change, unfortunately. But God's love doesn't. David rejoiced that God had delivered him from the hand of his enemies. Joy is a response to God's word. If you read Psalm 119, you're going to read about the word of God and how it can transform lives. Joy is also because of his reward to believers in Isaiah, and because of their strength in Nehemiah. Fundamental to the Old Testament understanding of joy are God's acts in history. The most important one was God parting the Red Sea, God delivering his people after 400 years of captivity in Egypt, the death angel passing over them, then marching on to the promised land. God's acts in history can also inspire us. We serve a God, not that's distant, But we serve a God that acts in history. Believers rejoice because God has brought them salvation. That Israel's return from the Babylonian exile was a cause of joy. Marching up to Jerusalem or marching to Zion was a cause of joy. People would sing the Psalms as they would march up towards Jerusalem. The restoration of Israel will be an occasion of joy. And nature will proclaim joy. Joy characterizes the worship life of Israel, and joy should characterize our worship life. No matter what the preaching's like, no matter what the music's like, no matter what is going on in your mind right now, now is the time to enjoy the joy of the Lord. We come to church to glorify God. No matter what's happening with us, we can have joy because God is in this place. Wherever two or more are gathered, Yahweh is there. Yahweh's pitching His tent. And the Holy Spirit's in us already. And I love this passage here. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God rejoices over us in song. We are a reason why God has joy. Not only does God bring us happiness, not only does God bring us relationship, the Lord loves us. The Lord has joy because of us. And in the New Testament, Old Testament imagery of joy is carried over. John the Baptist's reaction to the coming as the joy of the friend to the bridegroom, John chapter 3. And also, at the wedding in Cana, where the water was changed to superior wine, that was an occasion of joy, John 2. Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding, a place of joy. Joy is associated with the nativity, with the angels, with the shepherds, with Joseph and Mary, all of the world in anticipation for the coming of the one who's fully God, the one who's fully man. God with us, Emmanuel. The birth of John the Baptist was an occasion of joy for his fathers and other. We read that in Luke. The angel's greeting to Mary that was followed by highly favored, a word of the same family in Greek as joy. Shepherds hear the news of the birth of Christ as an occasion for great joy. Luke chapter 2. Luke's gospel is completed with the disciples returning with great joy after Jesus' ascension, 24:52. Imagine the joy of the disciples when they hear that the tomb is empty. Who you thought was dead, who you thought had been defeated, has risen in victory. The Mayo Clinic has the following to say about laughter. A good laugh has great short-term effects. When you start to laugh, it doesn't just lighten the load mentally. It produces physical changes in your body. Laughing can stimulate many organs. Laughter enhances your intake of oxygen-rich air, stimulates your heart, your lungs, and your muscles, and increases the endorphin that's released by your brain. It releases happiness. And music does the exact same thing. If you listen to a song you like, you get immediate medical benefits. Laughter and music are two ways in which we not only get spiritual and mental benefit, it even benefits our bodies. It sounds like the Creator knew what He was doing. Also, laughter can relieve your stress response. And by the way, if anyone has worked in a prison or in a hospital, laughter is a great way to deal with the stress of working in a high-stress environment. A rollicking laugh fires up and then cools down your stress response and can increase your heart rate and blood pressure. The result, a good, relaxed feeling. Laughter can soothe tension. Laughter can also stimulate circulation and aid muscle relaxation, both of which can help reduce some of the physical symptoms of stress. People say the Lord's Prayer in different ways. A mom spoke about her co-worker's 3-year-old son, Reese. Reese said, "Our Father, who does art in heaven, Howard is his name." I do believe that God does some pretty awesome art in heaven. In the New Testament, Paul emphasized the place that joy was to have in the life of Christians. He used the general form of letters in that day, but he added joy as a central element in the beginnings and the ends of his letters. Paul cared enough about joy that it was one of the first things he said, and it was one of the last things he says. Toward the end of the epistle to the Romans, Paul wrote, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And by the way, there's the Trinity at work right there. That God would fill you with joy, with hope, with peace. What a wonderful prayer for other people. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all occasions, for this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus." A lot of times people ask, well, what's God's will? How can I know God's will? Well, if you read the Bible, God's constantly telling you what His will is. It's not some mysterious thing that you have to go to the top of a Himalayan mountain, find some guy in orange robes, and ask the guy sitting on the top of the mountain the meaning of life. In my opinion, if you're sitting on the top of your mountain your entire life, you've missed the meaning of life. Paul's telling us what God wants us to do. God wants us to have joy in a vibrant relationship with Him and with other people. And prayer, which was just mentioned, still changes lives. While recovering from a serious mining accident in Oklahoma, Vernon Spencer began playing music at a local bar called, this is a great bar name here, the Bucket of Blood. So probably not the most peaceful place. He enjoyed the work so much at the Bucket of Blood that he hopped on a train to Hollywood in 1931, wanting to make it big. Tim Spencer became his stage name, and he joined Roy Rogers and the Sons of the Pioneers to become one of the most popular music groups in America. Tim married a Christian woman named Velma, who prayed earnestly for him, and he needed it, especially while he was on the road. He needed all the prayer he could get for his lifestyle, was summed up by the title of one of his songs, "Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women." He's not getting a star in his Sunday school class. Then one day, in a hotel in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, Tim opened a letter from his wife. Included was a verse of Scripture. Picking up a nearby Gideon Bible, Tim read the passage and realized he needed a change in his life. He later established the gospel music publishing company, Mono Music, and he yielded his life to the Lordship of Christ. Years later, his college-aged son, Hal, brought him a song from a student missionary conference. Tim contacted the author of the words, Stuart Hine, and published the song. It became one of the most beloved hymns of the 20th century. And that's how the author of Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women became the publisher who helped introduce the world to "How Great Thou Art." We never should write people off. We never know who is going to change their lives. If you know someone who that song title, Cigarettes, Whiskey, and Wild, Wild Women, would describe them, you need to pray for them a lot. We need to pray for those we know. Joy is expected of Christians because it's the natural result of having salvation. It is what we are born to do. And joy can literally transform our lives. Norman Cousins was hospitalized with a rare crippling form of arthritis. When he was diagnosed as incurable, Cousins checked himself out of the hospital. Aware of the harmful effects that negative emotions can have on the body, he figured, what would happen if I had some positive emotions? So he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment, consisting of the Marx Brothers films and old candy camera reruns. It didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating condition was eventually reversed after the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine. Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from doctors throughout the world. That is the power of joy. There's so many ways to spread joy to others. One way is to spread joy is through service. The Shelter Buddies reading program at the Humane Society of Missouri is doing something exciting. They take these antisocial dogs that no one would adopt, and they have children and adults read children's books to them. And it encourages the dogs, it encourages the volunteers, and eventually the dogs are able to go to a permanent loving family because of them. We can also spread joy by honestly complimenting people. The people around you, how much time do you spend thanking them? How much time do you spend for them doing things that are just everyday things? If someone did your laundry, there's a reason that you should thank them. Someone did your dishes. If someone helped you, if a doctor helped you, if a nurse helped you, if someone was waiting on you at a restaurant, we have reasons to be thankful. And there's so many ways that we can do this. We can visit someone who's lonely. We can pick flowers from our gardens and give them away. Just please don't pick the cacti and try to give a cactus away to your friends. Unless they like the cactus. You know, I like prickly pear cactus. I like the sweet cactus. Maybe they like that. We can participate in Operation Christmas Child and give gifts to needy children around the world. We can volunteer at the mission. Or we can volunteer at the hospital. I am constantly encouraged when I visit people in the hospital by those greeters that are giving up their time to help other people. We have so many blessings, so many reasons to be joyful, and so many opportunities to spread that joy. Please join me in prayer. Eternal God and Father, by whose power we are created and by whose love we are redeemed, guide and strengthen us by your Spirit, that we may give ourselves to your service, and live this day in love to one another and you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.